Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, the scripture says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, speaking about Jesus, it says that he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. Now, this comes, of course, after that incident he had with his, when he was 12 years old and he remained in the temple and so on, and his parents came looking for him. It says he increased in wisdom and in stature, and then with favor with God and with men. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, this is Jesus, the Son of God, who has the Spirit without measure. Okay? The Spirit without what? Measure. God incarnate on earth. But it says he grew in wisdom, which means he became wiser as he went along. It didn't just come because he's Jesus. He also had to, you know, learn certain things in certain ways. Now, of course, there is two kinds of wisdom. There is wisdom, which is spiritual. And that one, you see it a lot in display throughout his ministry. Actually, sometime a while back, the Lord told me to read the Gospels over and over again, and then he will give me like that wisdom of Jesus. Because there are things which we've become accustomed to, and we don't realize how powerful they are at the time that he spoke them, and how he navigated a tough corner through the wisdom of God. What the scripture would actually call word of wisdom. Like the instance of, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, that was a very tricky question because the Jews were under the Roman Empire and they had to pay taxes. But it was very unpopular because they didn't want to do it. That's why they hated tax collectors. But tax collectors had to be there and make sure they pay taxes to the Roman Empire, which they didn't like and which they were under. But very, very unpopular. Now, they ask him, so, should we pay taxes? Now, if he says pay taxes, that makes him very unpopular, like the tax collectors, because nobody wants to pay the taxes to Caesar. If he says don't pay taxes, then he has broken the law, and then they finally have something on him. Now, you see, those are questions where you need the wisdom of God to navigate, because you become so accustomed to it that you don't understand how powerful it was that he played them that card trick that he did. Now, that was that kind of wisdom. But then there is wisdom which you learn through interaction, which you grow in. And that usually is wisdom, the wisdom you learn in dealing with people. I've learned that dealing with people is the biggest place you learn wisdom as you're growing. Because there are certain things which you are not going to learn spiritually. You're going to learn through experience, how to deal with people. You find the difficult people, complicated people, all sorts of people. And then the thing is, how do you deal with them? Okay? Now, you have to put on a certain knowledge to deal with them. Now, this day, my son comes and tells me that they found him with a phone at school, which apparently he wasn't supposed to have in that place, so they confiscated it, and they told him to come for it at some later stage, and they're having holidays today, and he needs his phone. So he tells me, I want you to come and talk to this teacher, but he's very complicated. I told him, there is nobody who is complicated with me. Because honestly, I've developed this wisdom. He said, this guy is not easy. I said, it's okay. The only thing is, you've taken my time on a Friday, but otherwise, there is no way I can come and talk to him, and he refuses. So he kept on assuring me, this is a very complicated guy. I said, he's not easy. I said, neither am I. So we arrive and enter the office. So now, I know a scenario like that. As soon as the guy sees me, he takes a certain posture. Okay? Then even says, hey, President, what? Then I know that now if I kuzimba, he can refuse just to show that he's also in his office. So I start playing games. Okay? So I tell him, can I approach the desk, sir? Then he laughs. I'm putting on some false humility so that to make him comfortable. Anyway, to cut a long story short, my son was out of the place with his phone in a short while, and then we remained with the teacher talking about politics for like 30 minutes. So I sat down in the office, we talked politics, and you know, politics. Then when I left, he didn't want me to leave, but I had to leave. Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. Some time ago, I would not have pulled that off. Now you say that, there is a certain knowledge, wisdom you understand when dealing with people. And it helps you going forward. Like, it is so important because you navigate so many corners that you would not navigate if you don't understand now, how do I handle this person? Okay? If I handle them like this, they are going to become hard. And have you ever seen somebody who puts his feet in the ground and says it is not going to happen? And if he does, there is nothing you can do. Okay? Because your son is still going to the school and he's still the teacher. So there's nothing you can do. You just have to humble yourself. Praise the Lord. Jesus grew in wisdom. We did. Now even here in our ministry here, let me tell you something. You know, when I came and we started Watchman, I was excited and I'd been in church for a long time, but I really felt that for the first time, I had gotten hold of something spiritual. And I was excited about the prospects ahead. And I knew that now I have something spiritual. This is something that's going to work out. And it hadn't necessarily worked out entirely at the time, but I was confident that it was going to work out. So then we have, you know, meetings, these things. Then I realized one thing, that not everybody believes in spirit. Not everyone, even of you, really believes in spiritual things. No. Like, you, there is a belief at a certain level. But there are people who be among spiritual people and they don't ever get themselves to believe that there is anything there. They just look at you as fools. Like, I imagine Judas used to look at these disciples and say, look at these clouds. Me, I'm going to get my money. Eh? Like, and you see, it sounds like wisdom, but actually, you don't know what you're doing. You see, eh? Now, I'll tell you this. All those disciples, they had their weaknesses. They were fighting over who is boss. They were, you know, doing all these things. We saw people casting out demons in your name, and we told them to stop. Then Jesus says, why did you tell them to stop? And you see, they were normal human beings with their differences and what. But I'll tell you, the person who had the weakness for money is the one who ended up in hell. The rest are in heaven. Don't play with money. I'm telling you, don't play with money. Money is a god. There are so many other sins which people do, which are just distractions. They come to distract you from God, to make you ineffective. But money demands worship. That's why Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. He did not say you cannot serve God and lying or even fornication or adultery. No, it's only money which he puts at that level, mammon. And that's why even when the devil comes to tempt him, to give him the money, he says, bow down and worship me. Now, all the others, you don't have to bow down. But when it comes to money, it demands worship. Mammon is not just something. It is like, Mammon actually was the name of a Greek god for money. Greek god for avarice, for opulence, and so on. So he was talking about an individual. So Mammon is an individual, like a spiritual being, that demands to be worshipped. Now, Judas starts, you know. And now, of course, we've had things like those. Eh? Now, there's a guy here who used to be, long ago, when we were meeting at that place in Lugogo. Now, that guy was, I've never seen somebody so nifty. Eh? And you see, I like, it's funny, but, you know, from where, if you know where those things lead, you know it's not funny. But the guy was so nifty. The one thing he liked to do is to count money. And then he would steal quite an amount of it. So you would get count envelopes, then the heavy ones he gets, puts in his shirt. So every Friday would come to pray, and for him, the guy is just waiting for offering. And now I know how they behave, because then he comes and gives seed to kill all suspicion. So he comes and gives you seed and what, and they will never put the seed in the basket. No, because the purpose is for you to see them. Now, there are people I know who cannot put their prophetic offering in their prophetic offering thing. No, they want to come and give it to me. But what's the difference? If it was really spiritual and you knew it was going to give something spiritual, there is no difference between putting it there, because it's going to come to me anyway. But you have to wait. I want to come and see you. And say, I brought my seed. And you're looking for some kind of what? Buyinja. And there is none. If you don't believe it, you take your seat because it's not going to help you. If it is not given with that spirit. Anyway, so this Kagai, now even Roger knows him. That's why he's laughing. Eh? The Kagai used to be there and even told me there is a church he used to go to. And people were like that, counting money. 50K. Now you can steal government money. But when you steal money which people have given to God, it is dangerous. I am telling you. You go and steal government money, what, all that. That one you will get out with it properly, if you get out with it. But of course, usually you people get out with it. Huh? But this money which people have given to God, if I don't play with it. Okay, it's not even what I'm intending to say, but I'm saying, so this guy, so every, he comes and gives. No, one day I just felt, there's something wrong. So what I did, I told admin, I just felt late. I told admin that when you gather the, don't count the money from here. Put it in your car and go and count it from your home. Then suddenly the offering increased. Then the Kagai came to my office. That, have you noticed since admin started taking it to our home, it has reduced. Eh? That, why does she take it there? Why don't we count it from here? Hmm? How much do you trust her? I looked at the Kagai and I knew you were there. Now, then... When he realized that there was no place to change, then he also tricked her. He would come with a laptop and tell her that, I want to keep my laptop in your car. So she would say, okay. So he puts the laptop there. Now after they have taken the offering there, he says, can I go and pick my laptop? When she's busy doing other things here. Then he goes and gets something and busts. Eventually, when we cut off all channels, he came and told me he has got a job in Burundi. Like you see, you are there and you see, you think he believes in your things. He looks at you as fools. You're just fools. For me, I'm waiting for the end of the thing. You bring the offering, me, I get money and I go home. Don't waste my time. I sit through the sermon and all of you are just jokers. Eh? And now they can despise. Those people despise spiritual things. They get to a point where they totally despise spiritual things. And they look at spiritual things like they are complete rubbish. And now that's how it is. Always. Always. Egypt will always despise what? You remember that scripture where Abraham, his wife gives him the Egyptian woman, Hagar, to go in and get a child. Then she gets a child. Then it says she despised her mistress. It's automatic. Once you get something the other side, which is not spiritual, like it starts despising the spiritual thing, and it's automatic. And then also the other thing is, it will come very fast and will give you a semblance of this is the way to go. Imagine this man, every night he has been in action, no child. The day Egyptian woman comes, first time, pwah, net, pregnancy. And now that's how Egypt things be. Eh? Like you've been trying to get something, you know, spiritually, but it has failed. But when it works, it will work permanently. But the day you attempted to go to Egypt, something works immediately. So then it becomes, so, hey, what was the big deal? So you have been waiting for a child for 20 years. We just got them with one night try. And everything is now sorted. Somebody is pregnant. Praise. Anyway, then also, what I'm telling you is I learned certain things. Eh? When you deal with people like that, you learn certain things. Grow in wisdom. Eh? So then there came another type. Now these ones were more sophisticated. This one was in charge of partnership. So would have partnership meetings and then I come and teach and what. Then we do pledge cards. Then I go and look at the pledge cards and people have given 18 million. And I'm like, I was expecting more than this. So I said, anyway. Then you do another and it's the same thing, usually the same thing. Then, one day, I realized that I was led of the Lord. Because what I did is, when people had given their pledge cards, I said, all of you bring them to me. And I said, put them in my hand. So they brought them, put them in my hand, and I prayed over them. And then I went and gave them directly to admin. That time, our pledges were in excess of 100 million. Then I discovered the person who would be in charge of partnership. When there were big pledges, like 10 million, 20 million, she gets, puts it away. So now you cannot expect it if you've not seen the pledge card. She's the only one who has the pledge card. And then they are going to come and give her the money, and she has the pledge card, so there is no accountability. You understand? Because you were not expecting it. So now that continued on and on. She stayed around for a long time. And then, of course, as usual, she would also bring for me seed. Out of thy own seed. She would bring me seed. Now, then when I realized, I started asking myself, how come now it's a lot? Then I realized, oh, okay, all along. So then when she realized that we'd found her out and we changed the people in charge of the partnership, she also found a job up country. But I used to see her at Zoe. And she also left, praise the Lord. Now, I also learned, along the way that you have to learn how to deal with people. Now, when I'm dealing with somebody, I look at them and know, does this person really believe in spiritual things? Really? As in really, really? Or is this just a club, some kind of club where they come and be? Do they expect to get something spiritually or do they not? Because there are so many people who stay in places which are spiritual and their interest in it is not there. And then there are those who come and they really believe in it. Now you will see, the thing is those who don't believe, it is so obvious always that they are always looking out for something. They are very easy. Now even now, like myself, because those were the simpler things. The more difficult things came when somehow I went into politics. Then now the people who do not believe in spiritual things are the ones who they recruit as spies. And especially if they are around you. They are very easy because they don't believe too. They don't think they will get anything in the spirit. Like, they don't. Even if you tell them how, even if you tell them, I used to stay in Islam in Muzigo Sema in where, what, they will never believe. They will find a reason. They will find an explanation. They can never believe. They will say, yeah, it's because you did this and this and this. When somebody has chosen not to believe, you just leave them alone. And because they become a problem. And then you also realize that, now I'm telling you the kind of wisdom that everyone has to grow into, even if you're Jesus, in dealing with people. And then you realize that how much can you trust people? How much do you lay yourself out and so on? Do you deal promiscuously with people and, you know, just trust them, you know, what to do? And I know, like, I used to do that. But now, of course, after you've been stung so many times, you start becoming very cautious. You start looking at people, somebody comes, and those people give fake testimonies. And now I can tell from a distance, somebody starts telling me, I had a dream, and you know it's fake. And they're trying to push something. Now, those people, what they do is they use fake dreams, they use fake testimonies. And they will come and give you spectacular things. That over Jesus appeared to me and was smiling. And they are lying. There's one who said the angels came and massaged him. And people cheered. I looked at him and said, okay. For me, I will just go to a massage parlor. Because he may be angels. Now, but you see, because they find you when you are in a place of belief, and they look at you and they, so they say, okay, since you've decided to be, let us what? So angels came and massaged, and I was there and they were massaging me. I said, okay, what oil were they using? Angelic oil. I said, me, I'll just go for a massage parlor. And afterwards, I'll go to the sauna. Let the angels massage. Anyway, praise the Lord. So now you learn. Now, of course, now you learn from medicine. And the reality is that it can be discernment. Maybe I've grown in discernment. But no, I've not grown in discernment. Okay, I have. But it's not discernment. Sometimes it's just knowing. There's nothing new. Like they use, the tactics they use are new. They come wanting this, then the next thing they want the other, then the next thing they want the other. There's somebody who came to me and said, I'm sick, I'm having this. Now, at first I believed they were sick. Then as soon as I want to pray, I say, but anyway, they also the other thing. Before, also they chased me away from the house for rent. Then also this, then also, then you just know it's fake. And they were going to waste your time for nothing. And there's nothing that hurts like prayer when you're praying for someone who doesn't believe in your stuff. Like he's seeing you're talking rubbish. And they are there for a totally different reason. Praise the Lord. Totally different reason. Now, as I grew in, of course, in wisdom and in discernment, then I told you the other guy who came to me. And now the guy came to me and told me that what? He wants to join the choir. I looked at the guy. Even me, I'm a better singer. His voice is like, I don't know what. Huh? Like, if you can imagine a toad which has a cough, even the way he's talking, you know there is no music which can come out of him. Unless he's rapping. Then he says, I want to join choir. Then I just knew. So what I told him, because I knew, as soon as he was telling me, I knew he was here to spy. So I told him, you go and talk to admin and tell her you want to join the choir and what. Then he left. As soon as he left, I sent her a message on WhatsApp and I told her that guy who is coming is a spy. Find a way of getting rid of him. So she reached there and said, our choir is full. I don't know what she said. But somehow she got rid of. Then he kept on coming. Then he told me, and now the things are the same. I listened to your message. I used to listen to your message. I was up. And he's talking to you and you're looking at him. And now you can say it's discernment and maybe it is, but it is wisdom. You've seen them all over. They are the same. They don't change. They are the same. Now you spot them from a distance and say, this one, I know where he's going. Anyway, so then the guy eventually comes one. Then one day he tells me, I saw him and I saw a soldier. I saw that a soldier. So I told him, you are in the army. Then he said, no, I'm not in the army. But then he realized that I had picked something. Then he said, but I want to join the army. So he came to pray for me that I join the army. Now that confused me. Because you see, when you pick up something, it can either be front or back, you know, eh? So, but I knew there was army, and now somehow you could mess me up within there. But I knew there was army. There was no way it was. So I said, why? And I've gone there so many times. They said, no, I have to have a letter from somebody. This is, they don't just recruit people in the army unless you're related to somebody. Blah, blah, blah. Talks. And I'm just looking at him. At some stage, you even just see like, you can look in the spirit as almost like a snake, which is what? So anyway, the guy leaves and goes. Then, the next time the guy comes and he's dressed in full, 1 week later, he's dressed in full SFC uniform. Then I said, this guy now, this one who they refused to join the army, has he joined in 1 week? So he comes. Then, I look at him. I said, I was meeting people in office there in Bogorobi. And I said, this one, I'm not going to meet him in office because I know they come, they want to put some hearing devices. I know the things they do, eh? They come as if they are talking to you, then they are looking around to see where to put hearing devices so that everything you say in the office is picked up somehow. And like, anyway, sometimes you have to be civil. Eh? Otherwise, some of those people, you would kick them in certain places. Eh? So now I said, I'm not going to meet him in office. So I stood outside and I told him, okay. You know there in Bogorobi, there was that gazebo there where you're seated. Then the guy comes walking on his knees to me. And I'm looking at him and I'm so bored. I could throw up. Like I've never been so bored in all my life. Then you know what the guy told me? That, you know, if you want to become president, I want us to create our own army. We start our own army and we fight these guys. What? I looked at him and told him, the people who sent you should have told you I'm a very wise man. Like, at least you come up with something which is, like, don't you see that's so stupid? Like, only a fool can fall for that. I told him, go and tell the people who sent you that, do they really think I am that stupid? Like, I was offended that they can come with something so stupid. First of all, I'd seen it before. I was in Arua. I saw something like that. I saw it. So then he comes and he's telling me this. And I just looked at him and told him, you know what? Never come back here. Leave this place and never come back here. Then the guy took off there, that office in Bogorobi, took off and went. And he has never come back. But his colleagues are here. Praise the Lord. Huh? And the thing, I don't know them. And I know them. And like, praise the Lord. anyway, because you have to grow in wisdom in everything you're going to do. Now, you realize when you grow, you realize that loyalty, you don't expect people to be loyal. The only loyalty you ever get is spiritual. Amen? When you see somebody loyal to somebody, you know there is something spiritual. There is nobody. Even Jesus said that no one comes to me unless my Father draws him. So you see, somebody comes and he sees you, he sees Jesus, and he sees this is where. Now, like Peter, that where shall we go? You're the one who has the words of, you know, of life. Eh? You know the Father has drawn him and he knows this is the solution. And he's not looking anywhere else, to the left or to the right. Now, it is spiritual. Sometimes even in the demonic world. Not sometimes, a lot of times. In the demonic world. People can be loyal and you look at them and it is spiritual. Because there is no benefit they are getting out of it. But they are there. And you see also God does that when he chooses somebody. He chooses people who are loyal to you and they have been touched by him. And now the thing is, and I'm not talking just about, I'm talking about everyone of, you know. And the thing is, you have to be able to identify them. And say, these ones, God has sent, this one God has sent them to me. And you know that this one has been sent by God. Because they will be loyal, you will do what, they will stay there, they will stick with you because God touched them. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Start from, I think, verse 24. 1 Samuel chapter 10, I think, verse 24. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people? So all the people shouted and said, long live the king. This is Saul. This is talking about King Saul. Go to the next verse. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men with him whose hearts God had touched. Now, Samuel calls and says, here is your king. You asked for a king? Okay, this is the king God has given you. And somehow, as soon as Samuel announces him, some valiant men, somehow God touches their hearts and they say, we are going with him. And he's not the one who told them. If he told them, they would betray him. Like we've suffered betrayal. Praise the Lord. Now after suffering a lot of betrayal, you know who God has sent and whom he hasn't sent. Those whom he hasn't sent are going to betray you 100%. Praise the Lord. It's just, that's just the way it is. Now, here he says, valiant men went with him. Now, this is somebody who did not even feel like a king. They just unveiled. Even when they were unveiling him, he was hiding. Then there was Samuel went picking tribes by tribes, then go to the tribe of Benjamin, then picked out families. And Saul knew they were coming to him because Samuel had already told him. So he hid behind instruments. Then when they got to him, Samuel was saying, where is the guy? Then the Lord told him, you check there behind that Muzindaro. And the guy is there. So he doesn't even feel kingly. Eh? This is just before this scripture. And he doesn't even feel kingly. But there are people who look at, as soon as they say, this is one God has chosen, then their hearts are touched by God. And says, therefore they inquired of the Lord Father. And has the man come yet? And the Lord answered, there he is hidden among the equipment. The king. Anyway, go ahead. And so, valiant men whose hearts God had touched. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm telling you, in everything you do, you. Now, you're here. You think you're just an ordinary person. You're not an ordinary person. You see, eh? But there's something you're going to do, and God will touch certain people. And they will come and say, I know I can do. I told you how one day, long ago, I was speaking about, I think I said it even here. When those early years, when Prophet Elvis told me that, have you ever considered being FUFA president? I said, the truth is, it crossed my mind. But he said, you pray about it. You pray about it. And I know that's how he says, you know, when he's meaning something. So I thought about it. I said, but man, I'm not at that level. There was that, I didn't have that stature. But then I didn't know people grow in wisdom and in stature. Okay? Now, you can get to a place, you can be wanting something and you're not yet at that stature yet where you can even actually believe it is possible. But yet there is a word on you
and you're so not confident in your abilities. You're like Saul, and like so many other people who God chooses, and you don't have any confidence whatsoever. But you see, you have to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor before God and before men. Those are different things. Now, I wasn't at the stature where I could even dream of being FUFA president. Like, it just, it looked like it is such a distant thing. But then how something happened is, I said, let me give it a try. So there is some guy whom I know. He's a fat man like this, short and very fat. Okay? And, okay, you'll say that also you. But I'm talking about really, he's like really round. But now, I went to him, and he's known to be a kingmaker in football. He's the kind of person who, like, even all these people who are there, he's the one who knows how to plot those things. You know those guys who are, you know, And now, when I think of it, I say, but why was I so scared? Because football has about 150, 160 delegates, and you just need half of those to become FUFA president. And now this guy whom I went to, he has the ability to bring like a third of them on his own if he believed in me. So I went and told him. The guy is called Chuni. They call him Cowboy. Because of, you know, the guy can make anything happen. You know those guys. So I went and told him. I went and told Chuni. Ndiyakufuka FUFA president. I said, hey, kabletu ya kufuka mpira. Then he said, Chisoboka. You come and we plan how we are going to do it. I said, hey, this guy is believing my things. In my mind, I was not anywhere close to even. But the guy was ready to take me on. Really ready. Now, those are valiant men whose hearts God has touched. Because the reality is, there is no way you could believe I was even there. I didn't even have a car. In my eyes, I was a real grasshopper. But the guy was ready to believe. Then he said, after that, he kept on calling me. Where are you? You said you want. Come and we talk. Come and we talk. I said, ah, man, you leave me alone. And I ended up not doing it. And I actually could have done it. Because now there was a valiant man whose heart God had touched. And that guy, by himself, he can do wonders. He's a cowboy. Praise the Lord. Now you think that there are none. Let me tell you, there are people in your life whose work is just there to show you that God has called you. That you're somebody. Amen? Like, you step out to start a business, then you go and tell somebody, then the person behaves as if it's their business. Yeah, I think this is what we should do. We should do this. Now, sometimes either they are fake, but mostly they are valiant men whose hearts God has touched. And they are there actually to help you. And they have been waiting for you to step out. And then they do what? They find a meaning in life. Praise the Lord. But you're scared. You're scared to step out. But God is saying, you step out, they are valiant men whom God has what? Prepared for you. And like you think you are insignificant. I don't know how I can tell you how I felt totally inadequate for that place. I was like a real grasshopper. But here is a man whom I know who has the power, and he was so excited by it. He called me like 3 or 4 times after. Kableto riwa, jangu tuogere. I said, man, you leave me alone. Now every time I think about it, I say, man, why was I scared? Let me tell you something. If I had tried and failed, they were not going to lock me up in a prison. You see, Like, it's better to try and what? Hey, don't fear to try. Like, I could have tried. Like, an artist, I fail and I say, okay, if I'd done ABC, maybe I would succeed. Like, don't have any fear in you of anything. There is no prison where they lock out people who tried and failed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is none. Now, I learned that later. I said, I wish I had actually gone with it. But of course, God does that and says, okay, you're not yet ready. And then he gives you time to grow in stature. Okay? You first grow in wisdom, then you grow in stature. Then you start seeing yourself in a certain way. Now, that stature usually is spiritual because something, and there are people, you go to 1 Samuel chapter 22. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Verse 2. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented, gathered to him. And so he became captain over them And there were about 400 men with him. Now David, for the first time, is before Saul, and now they are falling out over the Goliath thing, and so are women crying that David has killed 10,000 and Saul 1,000. So Saul says, this guy. So now he runs away. But God will always have a witness where some people who need... Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, there are people, all of you here, who are in debt, who are in distress, who are discontented, who are waiting for you to step out, and you give them a purpose in life. Many of them are not even born again. Some of them might be, but they are not even remnants. Amen? But as long as you don't step out, they are there. They are loitering the earth, doing nothing. They are waiting for you to give them a lead. Now, where were all these men until David ran away? These men eventually became a powerful army for Israel. Okay? Now you see, God gives you some dream which is apparently very big. And you feel it, and you know it, and you know. But you are like me with the Fufa thing. You feel like a grasshopper. But you don't know that there are people who, the minute you step out, they will come around you. And they believe in you, even when you don't believe in yourself. You see? Like, I think it took a while before David even believed in himself. Because when it came to, there was a time when, you know, some of these stories in the Bible, you see people as heroes and what. But you don't know they went through the things everyone of us goes through. Because at the time when what's that guy called? The guy whom he went to ask for food? Whose widow he married? Nabal. Is it called Nabal? Then he went and told Nabal that, man, your herdsmen were here with us. What? We understand you're sharing. When they would share, they would do a big feast. So at least invite us and give us some food. Then Nabal said, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? Nowadays there are servants who are running all over the place, what? Rebelling against their masters. And David was so hurt by that he wanted to go and kill the man and all his household. Why do you think he was hurt? Because a part of him inside also saw himself as a servant. He had not yet internalized the vision of king. So you're just there in the wilderness, then you're even begging for food. Then some guy reminds you of what you don't want to be reminded of. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Certain things you don't want to be reminded of. You're trying to think big, then somebody reminds you, but man, you're staying in my house here. And if you're staying in my house, you have to wash plates and what. But I was thinking big things, first wash plates, man. First wash dishes. And now like that can like bring you down from up there properly. But then even David was so annoyed by it that he wanted to go and kill those people. And it is that lady Abigail, Nabal's widow, who stopped him from doing it. Because she realized that this guy. So she went and do you know what she told him? Let me tell you, everybody needs to be encouraged. You think now Nabal, you find what that lady told him. She basically told him, I can paraphrase. She came and found David angry. How can this guy call me a servant? What? But a part of him thinks he's right. That's why you're angry. If somebody calls you a servant when you know you're not, you can't be angry. You see, what gives you that anger is that there's a part of you which sees yourself like that, but you're trying to cover it up. Then somebody reminds you, you're broke. Then you get angry. So now, he goes, and then the lady comes and tells him that, why must you do this thing? My husband is a fool, you know, like what? Everybody knows that you are going to be king and you're fighting the Lord's wars. And when you become king, let not this evil be on your name that you killed Nabal and his people. Now, then, you first show us that scripture because it is very interesting. Because she told everyone knows you're going to be king. Now, continue. I want to hear this. Like, this is what I want to hear. No, you're going to be king. Are you sure? But, you know, you need somebody to do what? To encourage you because you're pursuing a big dream and sometimes even inside you don't believe it. You see? But you're pursuing it nonetheless. So now when somebody comes and says, no, and now this was a lady. So she comes and says, you know, don't kill him. Don't kill the man. Leave him alone. We know the saint, whatever of God, you're going to be king. And, you know, yeah. So when you become king, what? that when I what? When you become king, don't let this thing. Then David says that what? Then he says, blessed be the Lord who has sent you here. Because as surely as if you hadn't come, I was going to shed innocent blood. But now that you have come, God has saved me from shedding innocent blood. Then he even told her that I have liked you so much. Eh? No, he said that. And as soon as he had the husband that died, he went and proposed. There are words you can tell a man and you just mess him up, man. No, I'm telling you the honest truth. Because there is a servant in every man and there is a king in every man. Okay? If you want him to love you, just address the king, even when he's a servant. Okay, and shall come to pass when the Lord has done my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel. Eh? Now she's giving him word that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maid servant. Now imagine when you're a servant, then somebody says, remember me. Ah, you said, so good, I'm going somewhere. Now you see, then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, go in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. Huh? In other words, I have fallen in love. But the problem is you have a husband. So let's pray he dies. Now, as soon as he had the husband had died, the guy went and proposed. Now, this woman was sharp, man. Huh? Now, praise the Lord. Now, there are people who don't know that. Every man needs to be encouraged. People are hustling. Then you tell him, man, when you become a billionaire, don't forget me. Then he says, what? And those words are so sweet. Now, when he becomes a billionaire, he doesn't need them. He needs them now when he is not. When even he doubts himself, you understand? There comes a time when he doesn't need those words. He needs them at a certain... Anyway, that was besides the point. That was a nyongeza. Let's go back to where men praise the Lord. Now, everywhere, everybody, okay? You have your thing. You start it. Men will show up from somewhere. Where you don't know them. And God has been keeping them. And God is pushing you. Start that thing. And say, how am I going to start? With who am I going to start? Who is going to help me? How am I going to get this done? You don't know that God has valiant men whose hearts he has already touched. They are waiting for you. Until you step out, they will not step out. They are quiet. The day you step out, that's when you will see that they were there all along. Go to chapter 22 again. So it says, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men. Praise the Lord. Go also to Judges 11. He says, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but he was a son of a harlot, and Gilead begot Jephthah. Okay, verse 2. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, you shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. Now, they are worthless because they don't have a leader. Now, when they went out under Jephthah, guess what happened? Israel was attacked by an enemy and they had to go to Jephthah and tell him, come and save us. And the worthless men who followed him are the ones who saved Israel. What made them worthless is because they had no leader. Praise the Lord. How many people are you making worthless, you who is seated here? If I ask you, How many people are worthless because you've not stepped out to do what God sent you to do? And they are worthless. They are waiting for their leader to step out. Praise the Lord. Amen? Thomas, how many people are you making worthless by sitting here and crossing your legs and what? And yet the day you step out, people will come. Yes, you know, this is what we have been. Eh? Now let us do this. Let us do this. Let us do this. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. Now, part of the wisdom, what I wanted to tell you is that is knowing who is for you and who is not for you. And knowing how to separate them. That's why I told you all those things. Knowing that just because you have good intentions doesn't mean everybody is going to line themselves up to support you and, you know, what. They don't. It doesn't work like that. And to limit your expectations. Because people get hammered out there in the field, in business, in everything, because they have high expectations of people. And those people always let them down. It has happened to me so many times, I still haven't learned completely. But I keep on learning a bit every day. And this is not something that you can learn by God telling you. He has to let you go through it so that you develop your own lessons. And then you see now this one. Eh? This is how they talk. This is how they do. These ones are fake. I know can tell this one is fake. And you see them from a distance and you say, okay, deal with them in percentages. Praise the Lord. So wisdom and stature. But before I go, I just want to tell you people here. There is no one here who is called and they don't have something big that they are supposed to be doing. Okay? Only that you might be at the place where I was when I was supposed to be FUFA president. You see yourself as a grasshopper. Maybe your stature has grown a bit more. But there is something you're supposed to do. And there are valiant men who God has prepared for you, who are going to help you in a business, in an endeavor, in whatever it is. And they are there. And they are worthless, like the men who followed Jephthah. They are discontented. They are vagabonds because they are waiting for somebody to go and lead them. And that person is sitting scared. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so let's go back to Luke chapter 2. Verse 52. Then he says that he increased in wisdom, and I've told you some of the, you know, and stature. Now stature is a spiritual thing. Eh? Now when God calls you, anoints you king, you know, everybody starts shaky. Then their stature improves. Then they start seeing themselves. It's all the way you perceive yourself. Then you, over a period of time, you start perceiving yourself as somebody who can achieve that. Okay? Then you grow in stature. But it's also spiritual stature. And that, now that one is also very, very important. Because there are things you can pull off in the spirit which you couldn't pull off before. Okay? I remember one time some guy came and told me that he had this check. He was expecting a check. And they had taken long without paying it. And somehow they were delaying and what. So he said, pray for me. So I said, usually I would say, okay, I would pray for you. And sometimes I would say, send me a WhatsApp at night. So that I would tell people that so that at night I look and know what to pray for. Now when he told me that, I told him that, remind me at night, send me a WhatsApp message and I will pray about it. Then the Lord told me, you don't need to pray about it. Just command it to happen. So I told him, by the end of this month, they would have paid you. It was March, I remember. And it was like 23rd. It was the end of the month, was like 1 week away. They paid him on 31st. Okay? Now, after that, there are certain things which the Lord told me, some things you don't pray for. Because now your stature has grown. You just command. Okay? There are those you still pray for. But there are those you just command. Okay? Now, previously, I would pray about everything. But there are certain things which I don't need to pray for. If somebody agrees with me and we are in agreement, I just command it and say, this is going to happen, and then it happens. Praise the Lord. But now that one is not something you get. As in everybody, all of us keep on growing in stature. You know, even Jesus had to grow in stature. Praise the Lord. And now, of course, the stature he's talking about is not just growing. 12 years, you're young, then you grow stature. That would be useless. Why would the Bible be telling us that everybody grows? You see, eh? It's talking about a stature of something different, a different kind of stature. Now, this is what it says, spiritual stature, where certain things are no longer in the realm of prayer. They're in the realm of decreeing. Okay? And now so many people do not know that even when they cross over into decreeing, they continue praying. And they don't know that scripture, Job 22, verse 28, which says that you shall declare a thing and it shall be established for you. Okay? Job 22, 28. You will declare a thing and it shall be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. So you can make your way clear and light shine on it by just declaring. You wake up and declare something. Now, some of the things might be outside of you. Maybe you need to pray. But some of them you don't need to pray. You just need to declare, this day is going to be like this. I declare this day is going to be like this. And it is established for you. It says, so that light may shine in your ways. Praise the Lord. So Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. Those are two different things. Amen. Favor with men depends on how you treat them. Favor with God comes with obedience. Praise the Lord. It comes with what? With obedience. Like he tells you something, you do it, you do it. Then somehow you see favor. You know, the favor of God. But now favor with men, you can't treat people badly and you expect they will treat you well. You will not have favor. Favor in men is what Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Eh? And men will treat you the way you treat them. They don't have grace. They are not God. The way you treat them is the way you treat. So your favor is something. You cultivate it. Praise the Lord. Now, favor can be cultivated a lot, so much. I'll give you an example. And somebody, when I learned that favor is not something that just comes, you cultivate it. One day I was seated somewhere and I sat down to have a cup of coffee. And then somebody came and said that, please let me pay for that coffee. I said, oh, okay, that's okay. Now, I do not leave it like that. You see, you can just say, yeah, I could pay for the coffee myself. No, I celebrate that moment of favor. I say, man, this is favor. Eh? I have favor. And you actually take ownership of it, celebrate it, grow it. That favor will eventually lead to something bigger, much bigger. And instead of coffee, you will get something bigger and bigger. Because actually, I'll give you an example. Soon afterwards, after I'd grown that thing, I said, God, I thank you because somebody thought it, you know, that I'm mother buying me a cup of coffee. And this is just somebody who had heard me preaching any time on radio and what. And he came and said, let me, and I could see he was also not a well-off person, but it was a sacrifice. So eventually, somebody came and gave me a tab, an iPad. From coffee, it went to an iPad. Praise the Lord. And I kept on growing. Now somebody came and said, by the way, do you have an iPad? I said, no, I don't. I felt the Lord say, I should buy you one. I said, wow. So the next day I was seated there. Then they came and brought me a new, brand new iPad here. Now, if you are somebody who is like, you know, you don't understand the way spiritual things work, you say, okay. Yeah, that's nice. No, no. I go and say, man, God, I thank you because you this. I have favor. Somebody got me an iPad and what? The next thing, it will be something bigger and bigger and bigger. That's how you grow spiritual things. You don't take them for granted and just behave as if you were born to have it. Even just buying you a cup of coffee. You know what it means for someone to actually buy for you a cup of coffee? You're not a beautiful woman and a man is buying for you. You're a man with belief. You understand? Because you see, there can be all sorts of reasons why the person is doing it. But now imagine you're seated and somebody comes and says, Robert, I want to buy for you a cup of coffee. Like you say, this is a powerful thing. Because there is nothing about it. Praise the Lord. If it is somebody else, you would say, okay, maybe because my hair is good. But now for you, nothing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now you grow in favor with God. Now, the favor with God comes with obedience. Obedience, like small things. Small things. I remember my wife telling me that she was going to sleep to bed. Then the Lord told her, go and switch off the bathroom light. I said, but God also, like, bathroom light. Now, if you don't obey those small instructions, the big ones will never come. And they will come in small increments. Small increments. Like, and you learn so many things in that moment when he tells you this, and then you do it. There, you don't argue, you just do it. Okay? Then, at another time, she's praying outside in the compound, then it starts drizzling. Then she prepares to go into the house. Then the Lord says, why do you go to the house because of rain? Stop it. And then she stops it. But first hammers her a bit, but then she stops it. Then after that, she started stopping it every time. Then I would even know when she's out praying, it can't rain. There was a time it started drizzling and I knew she was out praying and I said, and I wanted the rain because me, I wanted to sleep. But I knew she was going to mess it up. And she messed it up and so I had to sleep without rain. Now, it starts like that. That's how small. Okay? Small. Now, like everybody, if you really, really want to grow in favor with God, you just do small instructions. Turn around, go and do this. Go and do that. Go and do this. Huh? I remember one time I was coming from Java's and I felt like passing here. Then I said, no, let me pass here. Then I passed a certain place. Then I found a woman who was with a kid. And she said, well, why? So I was like, ah, man. So I walked. I reached there. The Lord said, go. That's why I told you to pass there. That woman is stranded. She has no transport to go home. Go and give her money. So I turned around and went and gave her money. And you could see somebody who was seated there with her child stranded. She had nowhere to go. Praise the Lord. And now God wants to use you to solve such a need. And it's not like you don't have, I had the money. But you see, like where somebody's trying to stop you and you're like, ah, man, eh? And then God says, no, go and give her money. She's stranded. Then I gave her the money. She said, and she was seated there praying to God. Send somebody to help me. Now my car was parked there. I passed there. And like I just felt a driving thing passing me there, and that was the reason. God wanted me to sort that. Now, those small things are the ones which increase favor with God. Okay? With God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And small instructions which he gives you. Now, okay, one other story about my wife. man, you guys. So why are you feeling bad? Why are you feeling nugu? And I'm joking. So, she was planning an event. So there's this event she was planning. So she got some kachip hall, which was free somewhere. Then she has a dream. And in the dream, like God is telling her to go to Serena. And in the dream, Serena is like, will I kumalako? Praise the Lord. She's on her own money, not mine. Me, I don't stand in the way of God teaching people faith. Me, I already went through those lessons. So she... Because if it was mine, she wouldn't fear. So... She had the dream. So she tells me, but now you see, this one, I think I can beautify it a bit here. If I do this, if I put the decorations here and what, I can make it pass, what? And I told her, you have two options. Either you obey or you disobey. The dream you got was clear. You either obey or disobey. I said, but anyway, I'm tired of disobeying God because every time you regret, every time you disobey, you regret. So he says, let me go and ask Serena how much. So now I was even there listening to, the word of God. Then she comes running. I have to tell you something. Can you imagine they have given me Serena free of charge? I said, wow, that's good. At least you obeyed. Now imagine you refuse to obey. And God has prepared something good for you. Praise the Lord. And everybody is scared. You see, some people think that, because she's what? You can explain away everything. But you'll also have to do the same thing. Amen? You'll have to do the same thing. You have to start believing God. You don't have an option. You don't. Either that or you're going to struggle all your life. You have to start believing God, and he will take you slowly by slowly. Your faith grows. Your faith grows. The next thing, you are comfortable with things which used to make you tremble. Ooh, ooh. Glory to God. And you know, grow from faith to faith. There was a man whose work was to feed children. So he used to have, he was an old time, you know, something like, okay, but a preacher, but so he would have orphans whom he would put in some place and he would feed and so on. So he started with a few of them and you know, eventually by the time he died, he had thousands of orphans whom he was feeding every day. And he said that at the end of his life, it was just as easy. He said at the beginning, he had to struggle to believe God for $10 just to buy them something. That's in the early years. Just $10. He would struggle. His faith, he had to, you know, really stretch his faith to believe God for $10. But he said at the end of his life, he said, it's as easy for me to believe God for $10 million as it was for me to believe God for $10. Because what has increased is his faith. And I will grow from faith to faith. Eh? Amen? As far as God is concerned, $10 and $10 million are the same. You know, the earth and the fullness thereof are his. But it is you who has to grow your faith. And you grow your faith and you grow your faith. Now here you're believing for something so small. And then you grow your faith. At some stage, that same faith, you use it for belief for something powerful, big. And it will be the same energy. Not any different. And as far as God is concerned, there is no difference. It is just your faith that will determine what you can get from him. Praise the Lord. Now, when you grow in wisdom, in favor with God, you grow by obedience, by obeying simple. And sometimes some people say that I don't hear the voice of God clearly. You're lying. You do. Jesus said, "My sheep hear what? My voice." You do. I met somebody who was one of the most carnal people I know. Like a carnal believer. You know, like carnal. Like almost as carnal as a T-bone steak. And, you know, flesh. Eh? Fleshy Christian. But then one day he wanted to buy a piece of land. And then he had saved some money to buy a piece of land somewhere. And then some guy came to him and told him that there's a piece of land somewhere. Must have been somewhere in Mutungo. And he took him to the land. It even had the shell of a house, some shell and what. And it was perfect for him, absolutely perfect. And it was, the price was so good. And he had the money. And the guy said, "Now pay this money and, you know, I give you." He said he felt bad in his spirit. His mind was saying this is the best deal, but his spirit jammed completely. So he said he would delay as if he doesn't have the money, but he had the money in the bank. So he tried to delay to feel maybe something will come out different. Nothing. The spirit was in total rebellion. So the guy said, "What's wrong with this thing?" So anyhow, you look at the land, the house, the guy says, "Man, this is perfect. I just complete this house and my family stays here." Anyway, so he told me he went to the bank to get the money. When he arrived in the bank, he got a check leaf. Then he said he felt like he was stealing money. Then he said, "No, there's something." Then he just got the check leaf, threw it in a dustbin, then called the guy and told him, "I'm not interested in buying that land." Said it to somebody else. Then he said, incredibly, as soon as he said that, he felt a strong sense of peace and happiness. He was happy. Eh? What had been screaming inside him became happy suddenly. And now God is faithful. He will show you why he stopped you from doing it. So, after some time, he meets somebody who told him, "Banguze takavichi, like it was fake. The person who was selling it was not the owner. The owner was abroad." And guess what? It was the house he was going to sell. The guy was in court. He was going to lose his money. You know those court things. Now, the Spirit of God leads everybody. And now, let me tell you, before you ever get even to hearing the voice of God, you know that the number one way the Spirit of God leads you is that one. When you feel something is uncomfortable inside you, that is the voice of the Spirit of God. Even if you see a vision of Jesus, if you don't feel him inside you, that is fake. Because the only place the devil cannot duplicate is that feeling inside you. Amen? Even the visions, you check them, even prophecies or whatever. When somebody gives you a prophecy and it just gives you anguish inside you, throw it away. If it is the word of God, it is going to connect with something inside you and make you happy. Even when it is rebuking you. The words of God are sweet to his children, even when they are rebuked. Amen? Now, when something does not... And now when you learn that, you will know that every time you check, if something you feel uncomfortable for no reason, no apparent reason, your mind is telling you this is the best deal, everything is telling, but your spirit, something inside you has refused, don't force. Now, the times I have forced and I have fallen in so many deep problems, because you feel something and you say, but what is wrong? Why can't I? And you go. I remember one time when I felt clearly, I was supposed to go to somewhere, drive somewhere. I felt clearly, I woke up in the morning feeling I'm not supposed to go. You know those things where somebody has said, you've committed yourself, I'm coming. Then you're scared to say, no, I'm no longer coming. If your spirit jams, don't be scared. You'd rather offend that person, because what you're finding there is not going to be good. That cut thing inside you, even, and I'm telling you that because there is none of you who hasn't felt it. True? Yeah. Everybody feels, that's how the Spirit of God leads his spirit. Number one way, even dreams are secondary, visions are secondary, what? The number one way the Spirit of God leads his people is by the inner witness. The inner witness. Sometimes you want to start a conversation, then you feel the inner witness. Don't say it. Then you change the subject. So you are telling me this, it's okay. Eh? You change it. Now when you learn how to obey that kind of instruction consistently, it will start with small things. Don't do this. Don't do this. Switch off the light before you go to sleep. Doesn't God have more serious things to talk about? Switch off the light. The serious things will come when you obey the small ones. Or don't say that. You're beginning to say something about somebody, then you feel it inside you. That's not love. Don't say it. Then you stop. Then somebody says, hey, what do you natural? Leave me alone. I'm not going to. And it happens to everybody who is sensitive to the spirit. You will start conversations and you will say one sentence and you get out of them because you sense inside you that something is not right. I'm not supposed to say this. And then you realize that if you force and say it, of course, the grace of God can, but you really knock your head on the wall and you come out with wounds, and yet you don't have to come out with wounds. Praise the Lord. Eh? Now, there is no believer who is too immature to have that. Even the most immature person, God will lead them that way. Don't buy that piece of land. He will not tell you, because the person cannot hear the voice of God. You are a carnal person, but you will sense a discomfort over it. Don't marry that man. Then you cover him, hide him away from people. I don't want to what? And you know deep inside you're making a mistake. Let me tell you, when it comes to marriage, man. Ladies, and when it comes to money, somebody will come and say, to in a deal, what? I remember some guy, even when he came and told me, what is this deal of what we are doing, what we are going to do, what, you know, this thing. And then he said, then he was even asking prophet, what do you think about it? What do you think? And you can tell he knows it's fake, but he hopes it is not fake. You understand? You know those things. You hope, but your spirit is telling you, no, you're going in the bad. Then the prophet, it's fake. Are you sure? Are you sure? It's fake. They hammered him. He ended up in debt. And now there is nobody who ends up like that unless the Lord has warned you so many times. There is no child of God here or anywhere. who ends up in trouble financially, what, unless God has warned you and you refused, you just disobeyed. But he warns you and you know, deep inside, you know this is not right. I shouldn't do this. But you just say, you reason it out. Then it comes back. Then you reason it out. Then it comes back. Then you reason it out. Then you end up hitting your head on a wall somewhere. And sometimes in a very bad way, you lose. That guy lost a lot. There's one I know who even had to run away from the country. Very powerful evangelist. Ran away from the country because they hammered him money and he had taken debt loans and things were tight. So he had no way back. Now there is no one, none of you there can get into that trouble unless the Spirit of God has warned you. So he warns you. So if you want to grow in favor with God, obey. When you feel, I don't feel it, just leave it. There is curiosity which wants to push you to find out why he's curiosity killed the what? Yeah, you. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I've taught you what I wanted to teach you today. Glory to God.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at the Watchman Ministry Grounds along Gaba Road near the American Embassy opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman, and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.